Franklin full of fawning French is my alliterative short description of this show.
I just want to seek a little bit of clarification. When you talk about a period drama, that's got nothing to do with a menstrual sex hate crime. Just something I want to confirm, because it says that Edwin and Charles are best friends. These are not the same two people behind the 1992 hit Would I Lie to You, aka Charles and Eddie.
This podcast was recorded remotely and contains adult themes and language. Hello and welcome to TV DNA, The Watch List. My name is Adam Hemming and I'm joined by Damien Cooper.
Hello.
How you doing, Damien?
So. I've got like a bit of a bug or whatever. Other than that, grand. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I've had a few days off, so I've had a lot of telly watching time, which has been great. But yeah, we don't really have a featured show this week because we're all too busy watching Blue Lights, our first episode of which is already out now, and we'll be recording our next one very soon. How are you enjoying Blue Lights?
I mean, first of all, the self-control not to do a Northern Irish accent just then. It's amazing. So we are currently trying to really regulate how much of it we watch for recording the podcast episodes. And that is the only reason I have not inhaled it all. I'm just trying to make sure I don't give any spoilers when we record a pod.
Yeah, that's fair. I've snuck one episode ahead, so I'm up to episode 4, but I've stopped there now. I'm not going to watch anything else. And I don't think there's, I'm not going to say anything, because otherwise that is a spoiler. But it's great. I'm really enjoying it and really glad it's back on our screens, and urge everyone, if they haven't watched Blue Lights yet, to get on that. So I thought, in the place of us having a featured show, I've got a little challenge for you.
Yes, please.
So EmpireOnline.com have released their list of the 100 best TV shows of all time, as voted for by the Empire readership. So what I want you to do is to give me 10 of the top 100 best TV shows of all time, as according to the EmpireOnline.com list. If you give me one that's not on the list, then that's it. You're done. Challenge over.
Right, so I've got to think of the masses rather than the... rather than a critical acclaim. Top 10 of all time. All right, well, let's start off easy. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is on the list, you'll be relieved to know. And it comes in at number 2 on the list is Breaking Bad.
The Sopranos.
Sopranos is number 1 on the list. You've gone for the top 2. You've got them already. Good start.
I'm thinking that obviously this is also not just the masses, but Americans predominantly that are given this answer. I have to think of it that way, that skewer.
I think there is a good mix of British and American on the list. I will say that. So
I'm sure there will be. I probably will play it safe and do mostly Americans, though. So what have I gone for? I've gone for, let's go for The Wire.
The Wire is definitely on the list. That comes in at number 4.
Oh, geez. I've got to work out what number 3 might be. Succession.
Succession, Damien, is number 5 on the list. Yeah, your first 4. You've got 4 of the top 5 already. It's pretty good going.
I mean, I really, really want to say Lost, but I'm not going to, just for you. So we've got Sopranos, Breaking Bad, The Wire, Succession. I mean, I don't think it will be top 10, and I think that is the fault of the people that have been asked rather than its cultural and critical excellence. Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul is in the top 100. It is top 10. It's number 8 on the list.
So, okay. Yeah,
Better Call Saul makes number 8. Neil, obviously, a bit upset about that because he thinks it's better than Breaking Bad, but Better Call Saul, number 8.
I agree, man. I agree. It is better. All right, I think I've worked out what the one I missed is, especially because it's Americans, Mad Men.
Mad Men is on the list as well. You're outside the top 10, though, this time. It's number 11 on the list, Mad Men. I think in previous years, that probably would have been higher up. But I think there are maybe some shows that have knocked that down. And as time has passed, maybe its kudos has fallen away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The Bear?
The Bear. He's gone with The Bear. It's not on the list, Damo.
Oh, I shouldn't have gone for it. Oh, why?
Yeah, shockingly, The Bear is not on the list, and it absolutely should be, given some of these other shows that are on here. But yeah, that's, I'm afraid you, what did you make five then, was it?
Well, I got 1, 2, 4, 5, 11, and 8.
You got six in total.
No. Is that right? Just out of interest, where did the West Wing get?
West Wing was also top 10. The West Wing was in number 7.
Should have gone for it.
Do you have the top 10?
Yes, please.
10th place was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. In 9th place is a bit of a surprise, but it is something they do bang on a bit on their podcast, which is the OA. Netflix's The OA, which I've still never seen. Only lasted 2 seasons, but apparently is a masterpiece. 8 was Better Call Saul, 7 The West Wing, 6 was Friends.
Oh God, I was never gonna. I knew I was thinking, but I would never have said it. So that's fine.
And then 5, Succession, 4, The Wire, 3, Game of Thrones.
It's amazing how that last terrible season and a half makes me forget it and how much of a cultural juggernaut it was.
Well, we'll try and play this challenge with some of the other co-hosts when they're next on a pod and see if they fare any better than you with those six. But yeah, it's a good list. I'd recommend having a little look at it. Number 12, Demo, Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. That's like a Star Trek spin-off, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. And the one that you didn't go for, Lost, number 13 on the list.
No way! No way! So just in terms of scoring, because I'm not ultra competitive at all. So what are we saying? Are we pointlessing it? So the lowest score possible, 100 points, and obviously you're out for a wrong answer. But
Yeah.
then for the points after that so what do I have points wise?
Oh, what in terms of you want to add all of that up? Yeah, not too bad, I guess. So, although if someone then goes for more, I think you score 6 plus 100 for getting one wrong. So 106 is your score. Because if someone gets 9 of the top 100, they've done better than you, but they might have picked number 100 to number 91.
So no, that's what I'm saying. So you get the 100 for getting it wrong, and then you get 1 point for first place, 2 points for second place. So I would have a total of 100 and whatever that might be, probably 120 something as my final score. And then that way, if someone does play it safe but has like 8 rubbish shows relatively in the high 80s or 90s, then they don't win.
I don't think that's the case. Nice try.
You gotta try.
Speaking of hundredths, though, we're coming up for our 300th episode.
I know. Gosh.
We're not far off it now. And I was sort of racking my brains as to what we could do for our 300th episode. Have you got any thoughts?
Live show at the space.
We could do another live show. Do you know what? I have been meaning during my time off to download the audio from our only other live show and release it as a pod if it's any good. So maybe I'll see if I've got the time to do that. It might be quite a time-consuming thing to do because I think we went for about
Yeah,
3 hours.
definitely.
I thought it might be quite nice to try and get some of our special guests back, maybe some new special guests in, have a bit of a TV DNA party.
That sounds good. I like that.
Grand. Well, listeners, if you have any thoughts on what you'd like to see or hear from us on our 300th episode, do let us know via the usual methods, social media at tvdnapod or email tvdnapod@gmail.com.
300 isn't the only important number for the podcast this week, is it?
No, we broke another significant milestone in terms of our total listens, which is very exciting. I was refreshing the page fairly regularly the other day.
You want to tell people what the number was?
Yeah, we broke 10,000 total listens on the pod. We're really, really chuffed to have got that far. So thank you very much to everyone who's listened. And if you've listened to all 290 odd episodes so far, then well done you. And thank you for your contribution.
And let us know on the socials. Maybe if you have listened to all the episodes, we might be able to find a little bit of merch to give you. Could it be another And or What t-shirt? Who knows?
Yeah, if you're a TV DNA completist, definitely get in touch. Maybe we'll even curate a special watch list just for you for the 300th episode.
I like that. That's good.
Right, let's get into what we've been watching then. What have you been watching the last week, Damo?
Obviously, Blue Lights. And that's still phenomenal. As we said already, the special pods watch the show, listen to the pods. It's amazing. I watched the second episode of Fallout, all 1 hour of it. I'm still not convinced. I mean, it is very much, the humor is also very much video games humor. I mean, they all look great and they're all doing a good enough job, right? Michael Emerson, obviously, I know him not from Lost, but from Person of Interest, which I absolutely loved. I wonder if that was on the list. It probably wasn't. He was good. I liked him. Obviously, Walton Goggins, is always very good. Ellen Purnell is good. The whole gang are good, but it's still just leaving me a little bit cold.
Okay. I think it's been fairly well received across generally. I think like the populace have taken to this, the populace of the world. It's been renewed for a second season, has just been announced. So that's been confirmed, which is widely expected, I think. I had just started watching the fifth episode, I think. Fourth or fifth episode. I'm really enjoying it. It's definitely in my wheelhouse. I just think the characters and the colour and the music as well, the 50s, 60s soundtrack that it has going on throughout it is enjoyable. But yeah, it's out there and totally. It's based on a video game and it brings that aesthetic to the show.
Oh, definitely. I also just wanted to say, I think I said something, I think I called the thing on the arm an easy boy or whatever. It's not. It's called the Pip Boy. So just in case anyone has also played the games and was going, what are you talking about? I watched the first 10 minutes of a sitcom on iPlayer called Mammoth, which is about a PE teacher from the late 70s being frozen in the Alps and coming back to life in 2024 and how much life has changed. Yeah, I genuinely didn't laugh at all for the first 10 minutes. And I wanted to because the lead is a stand-up called Mike Bubbins, who I think is great. He does a podcast as well. There's James, which is socially distanced sports bar. I don't know if that's now changed since people aren't socially distancing anymore. Yeah, it just didn't quite. I just didn't really enjoy it, which is a shame because I wanted to.
I had a bit of a throwback PE teacher when I was in my first year of secondary school. It's called Mr. Brody. He was quite a big, big man. Was very much into his rugby. But he used to have this thing, if someone was speaking out or misbehaving, he would play patter cake with them. And that basically meant you had to hold your hands together on the cold field. And he would bang his hands over the top of your hands repeatedly, just giving them the massive sort of basically clapping on top of your hands. And it was incredibly, incredibly painful to anyone that suffered that particular punishment. Is there that sort of thing going on in there?
I wouldn't know. So it was mostly him frozen, and then he's come back to life and just him kind of losing that celebrity, I think. The most important thing, or the thing most of excitement for me, was the inclusion of Jeffrey from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who's also in another show on Channel 4 coming up that I really am looking forward to seeing. Joseph Marcel is the name of the actor, but obviously he played Jeffrey the butler in The Fresh Prince. So I saw him briefly, and that made me watch for another 5 minutes when I saw his face, but I just didn't enjoy it, sadly. I've been watching a documentary on Prime called The Real Line of Duty, which is a three-part documentary on an internal investigation group within the Met in the 90s. When the Met was incredibly corrupt, certainly around Southeast London, where I'm from, there was a lot of coppers in cahoots with villains. So it was about the setting up of that, which is interesting. It is possibly not the most thrilling documentary you'll watch. The pace is quite slow, but it's interesting nonetheless.
Do they mention OCGs, and is anyone wearing a waistcoat?
From what I've seen, there are no OCGs. I'm yet to see a waistcoat, but Steve Arnett is doing the voiceover, but nice. he's doing it in his own Glaswegian accent, although a very softened Glaswegian accent rather than Arnett's accent.
Martin Compton.
Martin Compton. I was trying to silently type that, but I think there's too many clicks in the audio. And the other thing I've been watching is something I know you've watched, Adam, on Adam's Apple TV Plus, Sugar, with Colin Farrell, and I'm not sure where I stand on it.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like, I've definitely been intrigued, and I think the first two episodes were up when it first came out, and then I think we've had one more that I've watched, and I think the most recent one is out today, which I think is episode four. And when the third episode came out, I bumped it up to the top of my watch list because I really wanted to watch it. This week, I've just left it in the rotation. I haven't bumped it up at all. And I think that's probably slightly because I don't know, I'm just a little bit unsure about it as well. I think he's great, you know. I think he's brilliant. And I like the tone and the style and the feel of it all. Maybe it's just a little bit slow in that third episode, and that's what put me off a bit. What are your reservations?
It just seems a little bit too, oh, I love Golden Era Hollywood, and I'm going to really try and cram in as much stuff as I can. It is basically a modern noir story, right? He's just a black and white palette, and she walked into my office, see, away from being that kind of classic noir thing. But yeah, sometimes I think it relies too much on style over substance. There's moments I think, that could have been a more interesting moment. I think we could have had something more interesting to see, more interesting to see what Sugar's real thoughts are, rather than a slightly weird staccato rhythm of the filming, some weird shots, and then, oh, don't worry, because there'll be a voiceover. You know, I would like a little bit more dialogue that seems, I don't want to sound too harsh, but just a bit more honest and present.
Yeah, I get that, definitely. I think it's definitely pastiche is not the right word, is it? It's kind of a tribute,
Homage.
homage, there you go, an homage to those Private Eye films. And I think if you're a big fan of those, you'll quite enjoy seeing those little glimpses and moments, that inspirations, I guess, for scenes and bits and pieces like that. And maybe if you're not, but you enjoy this, it might make you more curious to go back and watch some of those old black and white films. But yeah, I don't mind that stuff. I quite enjoy that as a thing. And I will definitely keep watching it. I think it's definitely good enough for me to keep it on the list, unlike some things that I've dropped.
All right, well, that's me. So please tell me what you're keeping on your list and what's getting dropped.
Oh, well, I'll start with the one that I've dropped, which is The Regime. I got halfway through the second episode and just found some of the dialogue and some of the characters just too annoying for me to want to continue with that. It's a shame because I think there's some good stuff in there. But yeah, I've just got too much on my list to be giving that my time. The other one that I dropped, probably the worst of the four new shows that I've watched this week, which is Franklin. And I only got halfway through the first episode of Franklin on Apple TV Plus. Franklin, full of fawning French, is my alliterative short description of this show. But I think the main problem for me is that Michael Douglas, who I think is great, I just don't think he's suited to a period role. Maybe it's just my opinion, but I think something about him jars in that period era. It feels very much like we're getting Michael Douglas into a cool position to take a shot of him at times. And it's just very, very dry. Like, it tries to add some comedy, mainly around farting and mistranslations, but I just found it largely pretty tedious. So I dropped that one pretty quickly. But the other three shows I have enjoyed, the other three shows I started this week, and I'll start with the one I enjoyed the most, which was Dinosaur. So not like Mammoth, this one's quite good. But it tells the story of two sisters. I've only watched the first episode. Two sisters played by Ashley Story and Kat Ronnie. And I knew from the copy that one of them was autistic. And when the show started, I wasn't quite sure which one it was for the first sort of five minutes or so of the show, which I thought was really clever and interesting. There's a lovely line. They talk about it being tacitly understood that the 11th free coffee should be a hot drink, not a iced coffee. But and then there's another lovely line about, well, the sister has become engaged. That's the kind of news that she announces to her autistic sister. And she says that she's had thrush for longer than she's known the man that she's getting engaged to.
What a line.
This had I laughed three times inside the first 4 minutes, which I think is a pretty good ratio for a comedy. It's not Rain Man. It's a much more grounded show about a normal person who happens to have autism. It really could be anyone dealing with their sister suddenly getting engaged to the most annoying man in the world. Obviously, your mileage may vary on that mark. as well as the two leads, who I think are pretty good, I want to give a shout out to Ben Rufus Green and Danny Ashok, who are very good as supporting characters in this. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. 25 minutes, first episode, the six episodes in total. It's available on the BBC iPlayer. And I think it's a good little palate cleanser comedy that I would recommend. So that's Dinosaur. I also started, I watched the first episode of Feud. Feud, Capote versus the Swans, I think is the full title. This is on Disney Plus and tells the story of Truman Capote and his feud with the social elite in New York, particularly these five or six women. The first episode covers, it jumps around in time from 1984 to 1968 to 1955 and then 1975, and I think at the end, back to 1984 again. So we are jumping around. It doesn't really matter so much that you're dealing with all of these different time periods. It's pretty easy to follow, and you're getting, in that first episode, the setup of one of the Swans. I think she's called Babe. I can't remember her surname now, but she's played by Naomi Watts, is the actress who plays her. She gets the sort of most of the story in the first episode, and then a little bit of Demi Moore's story as well. He's essentially the agony uncle to these women, and he medicates with Valium, scotch and advice in a typical Truman Capote style. But the events that he's witnessing are things like, or witnessing necessarily firsthand, but he's hearing about and retelling these stories. Things like menstrual sex affair, hate crime, and rumours of a murder that someone's gotten away with, and all of these different sort of grim and gruesome things. But yeah, it's kind of about stories and storytelling, and how I can imagine how stories get exaggerated in the telling, and rumours become gospel. There's a steam room scene involving Russell Tovey, where we get quite an explicit shot of a hand shandy, shall we say? it's all directed by Gus Van Sant, who, you know, he's a brilliant director. It's well made. It's a good quality show. Brilliant people in it. Loads of really great people in it. We haven't met Calista Flockhart or Molly Ringwald yet, but I'm sure they're due to come in future episodes. I think if you enjoy period New York society, if you enjoy gossip and scheming, then you'll have an absolute blast with this show. I'm going to continue watching it a little bit more. And I think Tom Hollander is great. I find Truman Capote as a character just a little bit annoying.
I just want to seek a little bit of clarification. When you talk about a period drama, that's got nothing to do with a menstrual sex hate crime.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't at all. But yeah, that's Feud. It is quite extreme in some ways. And I think maybe that's where it's got its Marmite factor to it. I think some people will really enjoy that and some people will not. That's where I am with that one. And then the third show that I've enjoyed this week is Anthracite. She's a new show on Netflix. It's a French mystery drama, should we call it? And it is quite complicated. So you have a young female web sleuther, very much in the mold of A Murder at the End of the World. She's even got pink hair. And she's trying to find her father, who's also some sort of detective, who she hears being kidnapped on the other end of the phone. So she's having a phone conversation. She hears something happening to him. And that leads her to the discovery of a couple of events that happened 30 years previously. So we're working in 1994 and 2024. But in 1994, a young girl was murdered and there was a mass suicide. And those two events are kind of linked. So rumours and suspicions of some sort of cult thing going on. But she also meets Jarrow, who is a parolee working in this French ski resort where this thing happened 30 years ago. And then there's also a female police officer who's investigating the disappearance of another young girl, this time in 2024. Who was last seen talking to Jarrow. Have I lost you?
No, it does seem... sorry, I was going to try and say something in French, but it's all left me now. It sounds pretty intriguing. My question is how many episodes have you watched?
I've only watched the first episode so far, yeah.
So in the first episode, has anyone at any point either gone, or... Muff, oh la la.
No, nothing quite so stereotypically Gaelic, I guess.
Okay. I suppose they're up in the mountains as well, so that might also make a difference.
Yeah. But all of the main characters in this are damaged or suffering in some way. So there's a fair bit of angst going on. But I think the mystery is compelling, and the ending of the first episode is quite explosive, which has made me keep it on the list and give it a bit more time. It's not going to be the best thing you've ever seen, definitely. But I think if you enjoy those sort of modern mystery thriller shows and you don't mind a bit of French, then you might quite enjoy this one. I haven't finished anything this week, but the other shows that I'm thoroughly enjoying still are Baby Reindeer, really, really good. Blue Lights, obviously. This Town and Ripley, very close to finishing both of those and enjoying them a lot. So, yeah, those would be my big recommendations if you haven't started watching any of those yet.
Let's get into what's coming out this week.
Okay, well, I'm going to kick off with Big Door Prize Season 2 because I watched the first season of this and enjoyed it. This is on Apple TV Plus and comes out on Wednesday, the 24th of April. The series explores the small town of Deerfield, Louisiana, where a mysterious machine called the Morpho appears at a local store, promising to reveal each resident's true potential. Morpho has promised the next stage for residents, and the intrigue, romance, character, and societal relationships will be explored alongside the mystery and philosophical questions. Chris O'Dowd and Gabriel Dennis return to lead the ensemble cast, and this time they're joined for season two by Succession's Justine Loop. Thoroughly enjoyed Big Door Prize the first season. It's a quirky drama comedy show. Each episode kind of focuses on a different character and what the Morpho machine has revealed to them. But yeah, it's a good format and I think works quite well. So yeah, I'm quite excited about the second season.
Brilliant. And once again, not wanting to talk about the menstrual-based hate crime, on Alibi on the 24th of April is The Red King. It's a character-driven mystery thriller combining a powerful story of a knotty police investigation with chilling atmospheric folk horror. Through the island's eerie past, devotion to a pagan god called the Red King and the cult of the true way. So I think we talked about this previously. It stars Anjali Mahindra with Mark Warren, who's brilliant, Mark Lewis Jones, and Aja Andawa. There is no trailer to be found at the moment, but there is some exciting promotional stuff available on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know that it is that exciting. I will pop a link to it in the notes, but it's basically it feels like a very much an AI generated, this is what the show's about and when it's coming out and who's in it. But yeah, it's weird that I couldn't find a trailer for this. I'm always a little bit suspicious of the shows that are coming out on Alibi, but I think this one does sound quite good. I think Anjali Mahindra is very good. She was in the Lazarus Project, wasn't she? Was she in the Line of Duty?
I'm not sure.
She was definitely in something else as well. And generally, I think she's a good, strong performer. And yeah, folk horror is definitely my bag. What's also my bag, Damo, is Dead Boy Detectives, which is out on Netflix on Thursday, the 25th of April. The blurb for this goes, Edwin and Charles are best friends, ghosts, and the best detectives on the mortal plane. They will do anything to stick together, including escaping evil witches, hell, and death herself. With the help of a clairvoyant named Crystal and her friend Nico, they are able to crack some of the mortal realm's most mystifying paranormal cases. This comes from writer, well, it's inspired by work from writer Neil Gaiman and is set in the Sandman universe. And the leads in this are George Rexdrew, Jaden Reverie, Cassius Nelson, and Yuyu Kitamura. I watched the trailer for this one, and I think it looks pretty good.
Just something I want to confirm because it says that Edwin and Charles are best friends. These are not the same two people behind the 1992 hit Would I Lie to You, aka Charles and Eddie.
I don't think what era was that? What year did you say?
Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You, 1992. An absolute classic, Adam.
I don't believe it's the same people. It could be because they are ghosts in this, you see.
I was just thinking about Grace on the Blue Lights podcast. Listeners, sorry. I mean, obviously, once again, listen to the Blue Lights podcast, but Grace confused a fictional character with someone who Adam previously knew at school.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite moments of the last 290 odd episodes on the podcast. But yes, also out. Little Marvin's Terror Anthology is back with Them the Scare on Prime Video on the 25th and 25th of April. And big news for Otis, Sonic's pal Knuckles gets a live action spin-off on Paramount Plus on the 27th of April. Idris Elba voices the echidna again, as he did in the movie. And Game of Thrones, Rory McCann, the Hound, is the bad guy in this one. I will almost certainly be watching Knuckles with Otis.
So how does that work? It's a live action spin-off, but obviously it's not a real echidna doing the things it's doing. How does that work?
You need to think sort of Who Framed Roger Rabbit style of, but clearly this time it's not animated, it's a computer generated character working within a live action filmed show. That's your
Right.
thesis.
Okay.
The Sonic movies, which I have watched with Otis because he's a massive fan of Sonic, they're okay. They're not amazing. There are better kids films out there, but I think Idris Elba is a good fit for Knuckles, and I'm a big fan of Rory McCann. I will suffer through it with Otis, probably secretly enjoy it.
Well, I know something else you're a big fan of if we move into trailer watch. The third and final season of Sweet Tooth has a trailer on the 6th of June, when it will be released on Netflix, sorry. All roads lead to Alaska. You've got nothing to live for until you've got something to die for.
Yeah, it's a great trailer. If you're a fan of Sweet Tooth, you'll be very excited about the final season of this. I think it's fitting and right that it's going for just the three seasons. I think that's perfect for this show. It's won Emmys, I think, for its special effects. And yeah, if you're a fan of fantasy, then I think you'll really enjoy Sweet Tooth. There's a lot of love, lots to love in there. There's a lot of really great performers in there as well who elevate it above the perhaps less good fantasy stuff that's out there. Also on our trailer watch, we've got World Productions, who made Line of Duty, and Channel 4, who've released a trailer for The Gathering, which features Vinette Robinson and Warren Brown. That's due to come out in May. The release date for that one yet? Yeah, that's coming soon. We'll pop those links to those trailers in the description of the podcast.
Yeah, Netflix has released a trailer for the 100 Years of Solitude, which is coming soon. We don't have an exact date yet, but we will have a trailer link in the podcast notes.
Let's get into casting news then, Damo. So Apple TV Plus have cast Emma Thompson and Ruth Wilson in Down Cemetery Road, which is an adaptation of Mick Herron's novel series. This is the same Mick Herron who wrote the Slow Horses series. Emma Thompson will play the private investigator Zoe Bohm, who is the sort of lead character in that series of novels. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. I know you're not a big fan of Ruth Wilson, but there's a lot to love in that couple of sentences for me.
Yeah, well, I do like Emma Thompson quite a lot. Someone else I really like is Lenny James, who has been shooting Mr. Loverman for the BBC. It's based on Bernardine Evaristo's groundbreaking exploration of Britain's older Caribbean community. And it stars Arion Bukhari, Sharon D. Clarke, and Tamara Lawrence in the show, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I think that sounds brilliant. And they are some great people in that. That should be worth a watch. Lenny James, I think, is one of my favourite actors of all time, probably. Can't wait. Damo, it may be a no to Jon Snow because his spin-off, the Snow spin-off from Game of Thrones, is not happening, according to Kit Harington. But it is a resounding yes to the news that Peter Claffey, who I'm currently watching in Rec, will play Dunk. And Dexter Sol Ansel, who's been in the Hunger Games films, will play Egg in The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, also known as the Dunk and Egg stories from George R.R. Martin's Westeros universe.
Great. I mean, the Dunkin' Egg stories are really, really enjoyable. And there's some really nice references to the stuff that happens in those in Game of Thrones. I don't think we really saw it in the TV series, but in the books, there's references and they kind of interlock quite nicely. So, yeah, no, I'm really excited about that because, I mean, George R. R. Martin has finished writing that. So hopefully we shouldn't get a kind of final season and a half of not great stuff that we got for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's a series of three novellas, isn't it? The Dunk and Egg stories. So potentially we may be getting three seasons of this, which I think would be great. I think Peter Claffey is I don't know Dexter Solanso so well, but I think Peter Claffey is really good casting as Dunk. He's a big lunk of a man, and he's also a good actor as well. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. Can't wait for that to come. We've got some release date news. So season 3 of Abbott Elementary is coming to Disney Plus on the 8th of May. And We Are Lady Parts season 2 will be on Channel 4 on the 30th of May. Did you ever watch We Are Lady Parts, Damo? I've heard it was good.
I'm trying to remember what that is. Oh, it's about the football team, right? No, it's not. It's about the punk. Yeah. So I didn't watch this, but my sister, Adrienne, watched this and absolutely loved it. So it has been on my list, but I hardly ever go on Channel 4.
Yeah, there's some all right stuff on Channel 4. I'm watching Big Mood on there at the moment. But yeah, I think Izzy has mentioned We Are Lady Parts before, and I've heard it spoken about in glowing terms. So it's one that I might try and go back to at some point. I'm going to cover the random renewals because, again, they're shows that I've watched and enjoyed. But For All Mankind is getting a 5th season from Apple TV+. Plus a spin-off series, Star City, which will look at the alt-history storyline from the Russian point of view. They've kind of gone as far as they can go, really, I think, with For All Mankind, because the cast, they keep having to age the cast up a decade each season. But I think that Star City could be quite an interesting thing to do, is to look behind the Iron Curtain and see what the Russians were doing in that time. And then the other news is that The Witcher is also getting a 5th season, which will be its final season. Production has started now on season 4 of The Witcher, which will see Liam Hemsworth looking to fill the charisma gap as Geralt of Rivia, taking over from Henry Cavill.
What I would say is, just from what's going on in the video game side of this, CD Projekt Red are currently working on a new Witcher game that I think will probably be released in maybe 2 to 3 years' time. So I think for those who are worried that might be the end of The Witcher on Netflix, or at least the TV series, I think there will be more material. Even, I mean, obviously there's the whole series of books that they're drawing from, but I'm assuming new stuff will be added to the lore and or what is canon, shall we say, in the video games too. So don't worry, this almost certainly will come back because it makes too much money.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first 2 seasons of The Witcher. I think the 3rd season lost a little bit of its sheen. I think if you enjoy that sort of fantasy stuff and you're a fan of it, you'll probably still enjoy it. But it feels like with Liam Hemsworth coming in, that this might be the opportunity for a bit of a reset for these final 2 seasons. So we approach with anticipation and hope.
Mm-hmm. And a general level of Geralt of Rivia enthusiasm.
Amazing. So what's going to be what are you going to be watching when you leave this podcast, Amo?
Well, I will be doing everything I can not to watch more Blue Lights. I mean, obviously, I still need to watch Shogun. I think 3 episodes I haven't watched yet. It's officially no longer a co-watch. So maybe I'll sit down and watch an episode or 2 of that to catch up with you lads so I can be on the final episode, hopefully. So yeah, that's where my head's at. Bowed with a good level of deference and respect, Shogun style.
If you haven't watched the next 3 episodes of Shogun by next week's watch list, then I'm going to order you to commit seppuku, Damo.
Because is that what we're going to do for episode 300? I'm going to commit seppuku.
TVDNA live. I definitely think those the last 3 episodes have ramped it up, and it is really exciting stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed the penultimate episode of Shogun this week, and we'll talk more about that when we record the special, which we'll also be doing at some point next week. I'm going to be watching the rest of episode 4 or 5 of Fallout, and following that up probably before bedtime with an episode of Baby Reindeer. Both really good shows. But yeah, we've got, we'll be getting our Blue Lights episodes out. We'll be recording those as soon as we can, as soon as we can get me, Damo and Grace together. And we'll be back with another watch list next week. Thanks very much for listening. And thanks to you, Damo.
And to you too. Bye. Through the island's eerie past. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was doing so well. Through the island's eerie past devotion,